The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake, for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So today's enigmatic teaching from Mark has a lot of questions that are subtexts in this passage. One of them is, how much is enough? How much is enough? And it's not just a question for us who live in an affluent time, in an affluent culture, in an affluent part of our society. It's also a question for those who give. How much is enough? How much is enough? It's the riddle at the center of the question that the young man brings to Jesus. A righteous man, so righteous in fact that Jesus can perceive that, and we have that remarkable turn of phrase that I think is unique in all of Mark's gospel. Jesus looks at him and loves him. He sees kinship. He sees something there that is gracious. After all, it is very clear that this man is successful by any measure in his society. He has all of the manifestations of blessing. He has been righteous under the law, and he has received material wealth as a sign to his society and certainly to the disciples that he has been blessed by God for his righteousness. And yet he comes to Jesus with this question. Something is missing in his life, and he wants to know what it is. But it's interesting how he frames the question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, how do I work my side of the account ledgers so the other side will balance in my favor? And Jesus' whole point to him and to us and to the disciples is that God's abundant life doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't work that way. And so he tells him, give what you have to the poor and then come and follow me, to help him let go of this sense that if you have the good life, you've got to hang on to it with everything you have and everything you are. And he goes away grieving and shocked as a consequence. Curiously, we don't know what he does after he gets over his shock, do we? Maybe he does what Jesus tells him and ends up following him. We don't know. But Jesus immediately turns to his disciples and reminds them, you know, for those who have a lot, hello, everybody in this room, it's hard to enter the kingdom of God. And that just bewilders the disciples because, you know, if the good folks and the wealthy folks are not blessed, then who is? Is their basic question. And Jesus comes back at them and says, children, little folks still growing in the faith, how difficult it is for those who are rich to enter the kingdom. Because, as he says, we carry so much by way of responsibility and material wealth, and by way of accountability to our possessions, because as someone, as I know, has remarked, what we possess possesses us in a profound way, that it's hard for us to get across that threshold into that new world and that new life that God is so eager to offer us. Someone at the 8 o'clock pointed out that part of what the young man walks away from in his shock and his grief is Jesus' offering of love. Maybe that's what was missing for him. Righteousness is not enough. Material success in the world is not enough. But then Peter, being Peter, not getting it, turns it completely over and he says, oh, hey, Jesus, look at us. We've left everything and followed you. He wants to know how the accounting's going to work for that, because Peter suddenly gets it. We got it right, yeah? And Jesus says, Peter, Peter, no. He tells him, yes, you will inherit this great family, this promised abundant life, but then he says, and you will also have in this world fields with persecutions. There's an edge. And then he has the capstone teaching, the takeaway, which is, for the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Reminding Peter that as long as you are in this transactional mindset, you still haven't entered the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is all about abundance. And so our call this day, in light of this gospel, is to be very, very cautious about the complacency and the sense that we have arrived. Whether it's because we've been successful in the world or whether it's because we think we've been successful in giving enough away to build up that treasure in heaven, neither will do. It is actually in the struggle with these questions that we are able to cross the threshold into God's grace. It is our willingness to be like that child that Jesus has been putting in front of us these past few weeks and holding him in front of his disciples and saying to them, you know, look at this child, look at how she is, look at her vulnerability, her openness, her wonder, her willingness to be interdependent and to turn to God with their authentic needs. That is the path forward. And it is the invitation to that ancient Christian virtue of humility. That is our path As we think about who we are as a parish and who we are becoming, we have to walk that path of humility. And it begins by giving ourselves over to God and to submit not to God's wrath or even God's commandments, but to God's love for us. Because when it comes to God's abundant love, there is no accounting. There is only abundant life. And it is there for us, right across the threshold. So look this week in your own hearts and your own walks about those places where you need to let go of your sense of success, of your pride of how much you've given away, and walk humbly with your God, the God who gives us life, eternal life, as Jesus puts it in Mark's gospel, the life that bubbles up to overflowing and brings life to everyone and everything around us.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.